Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. And men, as always, I'd like to begin by thanking you for checking out today's show. And when you get the opportunity, make sure you visit the website, thepursuitofmanliness.com. You can find this podcast episode, the whole catalog of previous episodes. You can learn more about the Pursuit of Manliness. You can see what's available in the gear store. You can see that tribe registration is currently open. You can learn about our men's retreat in the fall. You can sign up for the Framework Field Notes newsletter that goes out every week. Just a lot there to get you connected and acclimated to the pursuit of manliness. But I want to remind you, the Wednesday podcast is sponsored by Loader Road Goods out of Coshocton, Ohio. Now, I want to show you this. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening, you're just going to have to take my word for it. I got this from Loader Road Goods a while back. It is an everyday carry dump tray. I didn't even know I needed one of these until I got one. And I put all my belongings every day into this tray, and my wife loves it. It doesn't clutter the dresser, doesn't clutter the counters or anything like that. Every morning I get up, I get my cross, I get my wallet, my pens, my glasses, whatever is in here, I just get it, put it on myself, and get on throughout the day. Now, Chris says this is made out of thick water buffalo leather. How you get that in Coshocton, Ohio? I don't know, but he does. It is 7 inches by 8.5 inches. Let me tell you, this would be a great gift if you got a young man who's graduating and going off to college, or you got a buddy of yours that's getting ready to get married, and you want to give him a unique gift. Check it out, loaderroadgoods.com. If you put in the discount code A Quiet Life, all capital letters, one word, you'll save 15% off your order. Men, it's time for today's podcast episode. Now, every once in a while in my personal worship time, I'll come across something that really stands out. Every day something stands out. Every day something is convicting, something that I'm sharing with, you know, my family or whomever I'm discipling, whatever. Every day there's something. But every once in a while there's something that I dive into just a little bit more. Just a little bit more dive, and I start to look up more scripture, and I think, okay, well, where's that? Where else can we find that? Or what's consistent with that? And what I'm going to share with you today, here's the interesting thing. I made these notes on December 28th, 2023. Saying the year makes it feel like it was so long ago. But it was, what, 4 months ago, December 28th. I'm recording this podcast on Monday, April 15th, tax day. I hope you paid your taxes. Tax day. And I don't know how many days that is between the 28th of December to April 15th, but you guys are getting this probably a couple weeks after that. I say that to give you context because right now, as I record this, I'm having a bit of a problem with coveting. Not looking over the fence at my neighbor's house or wife or donkey or whatever else it says in the book of Exodus. What's that? I don't want to do that. I'm not doing what old Deuteronomy says either, that I'm looking over and I'm coveting his field or male servant or female servant, his ox or anything else that you're not necessarily doing that. So I can kind of justify, well, I'm not coveting my neighbor's stuff, but I'm having an issue with coveting in my heart. Just, I saw something recently and it's unsettled me, and I have this kind of internal angst that, no question about it, it's coveting. And as I opened up my blue moleskin, whatever this is, journal, and I'm looking at the notes I have, that I make extra notes to say, hey, this is an episode that you might want to consider, or this is something that might work for a podcast episode. The first one I came to, coveting. And so at the title I wrote, when we break the 10th commandment, do not covet, we place ourselves in a place of inferiority and we develop an envious heart. That's what I have right now. I just mowed the grass yesterday, and most of the time while I was mowing the grass, I thought about what my envious heart is telling me. And you think about scripture and you think about envy. It's not hard to envy now, is it? Let's use a real simple analogy here. If you never knew someone who was a fan of, I'm trying to think of a team that I don't know, Utah Utes, okay? That's a school out in Utah. I don't know anybody that's a fan of Utah Utes. If you're a fan of Utah, God bless you. I just used it because I didn't want to pick anything else. If you know somebody that's a fan of the Utah Utes and they drive you crazy, Do you not root against Utah because of that person? Right? You root against college teams, professional teams. If you never knew a person that was a fan of that team, you probably have no real issue with that team. You would just say, well, whatever, they won, they lost, whatever. But there's a bit of envy in us, right? If that individual is happy that their team won the game, they beat our team, they won the trophy, we have a little bit of envy there, even though we didn't compete. Envy is so subtle, and we talk about this all the time. What is subtle quite often grows into something that is significant. Men or women, for that matter, who commit adultery, don't wake up one day just next to someone who wasn't their spouse and say, how did I get here? Well, it was the text message. It was the Facebook DM. It was the, you know, meeting that went longer. It was the inside joke just between the two of you. It was the lunch. It was the car ride. It was all these things that on the surface seem subtle. And then one day, what just happened? That's the beauty of the Bible. It continually shows us how God works in the lives of flawed people, and He will give us over to envy if we don't have any kind of restraint, if we don't repent of it, if we don't give it over to Him. It's as if God says, okay, it's like when Israel demanded a king. What did He tell Samuel? They're not rejecting you, guy. They're rejecting me. And when we envy, and when we covet, and when we put ourselves in competition with another person, even if that individual doesn't know we see ourselves in competition with them, we place ourselves in an inferior spot, and we essentially tell God, what you've given me is not nearly as good as what you've given them. Sometimes God's given someone else something else because they've worked harder, because their character is in a place where they can handle it. Because we could not handle it. Sometimes He hasn't given us things because it would ruin us. You think about all the things that you probably have prayed for throughout the years, and there's got to be a number of them that you look back and say, thank you, God, that you did not answer that prayer. That person did not go out with me. That I did not go to that place. That I did not vacation there. That I did not get the job at that place. That I did not move into that neighborhood. You can look back now and say, thank you, God, that you kept me from that. But if we're not careful and we see someone else who did, then suddenly we develop this envious heart. And again, most of the time, I believe the person or circumstance that we are coveting, that we have an envious heart about, I don't think they have any clue. There's probably somebody in your life who's envious of you, and you have no clue that they're envious of you. I went through on this day in December 28th, and I just made a list of some people, and I just said, envy ruined, and then I just made a list and where you can find it. Envy ruined Cain, right? God said, sin is crouching at your door. It's trying to look small. It's trying to look insignificant, but you must master it. You must rule it. Its desire is to rule over you. And Cain said, I'll just do things my way. How about Esau? Envy towards Jacob. Genesis 27, 28. We look at Sarah and her maidservant, right? Hagar, Ishmael. We have Rachel in Genesis 30. She, even though she was loved more than Leah, there was this tremendous envy because she was not able to have children and everyone else was kicking them out like a gumball machine. We have Joseph's brothers in Genesis 37 and 38. He has this dream and they are deeply offended by it. Praise the Lord, we never let things that we're deeply offended by affect our relationships. They're so deeply affected by it, they said, we shouldn't kill him. That would be wrong. Let's just sell him off into slavery and then come up with a ruse, a lie, to say that some wild animal must have eaten him. And they all went along with it. Miriam and Aaron, jealous of Moses. I said, you can't be the only one God is speaking to. Did they ever take a gander at what Moses was dealing with? Did they watch that and honestly say, we want that? No, what they saw was whatever they thought was like the relationship Moses had with God or his influence on the people or however people looked at him or whatever. They said, we want that. We would like to have that. We would like to be in that position. You're no better than us. That's some of your greatest challenges in life. People who think they know you better than you know yourself. Or again, they've seen you in diapers, or they've seen you as a kid, or they saw you pre-Jesus. They'll always treat you that way. You can't convince them otherwise. You have Saul, 1 Samuel 18, David kills Goliath. Seems like David just got rid of a massive problem for Saul. Well, the problem really was when Saul got in the car that day and he turned on the radio, there was a new song playing, and it was David had killed his tens of thousands. Even though Saul had a pretty good record, they said, oh, David's is way better than Saul's. Now, to my understanding, David had killed one in the moment. Now, obviously, we're killing a lot of Philistines, but the song was to celebrate what David had done. We don't have this problem hanging over Israel no more. You'd think the king would go, whew, thank you, sir. Not the case. He didn't like it. He didn't like it, and he chased this envy. He chased this jealousy. He chased this bitterness all the way to his death. I mean, even those couple times where David showed up and said, hey, I could have killed you, but I didn't. Oh, yeah, you're so wonderful, David. Your integrity is so much better than mine. And he's right back at it. You see, if you don't repent of envy, if you don't give it over to the Lord, it's going to consume you. Sadducees got that way, didn't they? They just couldn't let go of their position. This happens a lot in leadership, not just in church, but in the world. People get in leadership and they have this fear that they're going to lose their position or authority or their payroll or whatever they're a part of. And they'll do all kinds of strange things. They'll act in strange ways and they'll develop a really bitter and jaded heart and kind of sell their soul because they don't want to lose that spot. Religious leaders did not want to lose that spot. Here's what I know. This is what I know. Maybe you know a little bit more. You probably do. Envy always leads to anger. I've never been envious or coveting of something and not found myself becoming angry at some point. Envy always brings on an inferior attitude. Even though you're trying to sway it, you're coveting, you're envious, you're looking at a person, you're looking at a situation, you're looking at a position, you're looking at a thing, and you look at it and you try to justify your envy, your coveting, or your the way that you have been given a raw deal or whatever, but it always is coded in an inferior attitude. Coveting and envy always brings on the idea that you are behind. Right? Somehow you need to catch up. Guy down the street just put a pool in the backyard. He didn't. But if they did, you go, well, I gotta have a pool. I have fence envy in my neighborhood. I see these fences these guys have, and I'm like, I want that. Now that's not what I'm envying over right now. But that'd be nice if it was. That's a lot easier. Envy will always lead to a lack of appreciation. Ecclesiastes 4:4. Then I saw all the toil and all the skill and work that come from man's envy of his neighbor. This is also a vanity, a striving after the wind. Solomon writes, one of the reasons why people work so hard and they're toiling and all the grinding and all the things, an inferiority complex. They covet. He says, I saw the toil and skill and everything. What's it coming from? Envy of his neighbor. I'm going to work a little bit harder. I'm going to work a little bit smarter. I'm going to be a little more strategic this way. And then somehow I will pass that guy. There have been some instances in my life where I felt like I passed that guy. And let me tell you, number one, that guy doesn't care. He's oblivious to it. Number two, it's not as joyful as you think it is. That's why envy always puts us in a place where we feel like we're behind. It leads to a lack of appreciation for what I do have. I mean, just the fact that the good Lord woke me up today. Now, by the time this airs, I don't know. There's a couple weeks. You know, Lord willing, I might still be here. And maybe you will too. But he woke us up today. What happens here is when I also envy, this is one of the last things that I thought of that I wrote down. It leads me to a place where I desire to control my circumstances. When I desire to control my circumstances, I become quite a bit more critical. I like to think I have a competitive spirit, but that's not really the case. I talk a lot about, you know, I want to kindle that fire, and sometimes that kindling of the fire can be a good thing, and sometimes just downright bitterness and being jaded. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. Let's turn there. I want to get there. I want to make sure I got this right. Deuteronomy 4, 24 says, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. If there's anyone who's supposed to be jealous, it is the Almighty. What is he jealous for? Us. Our worship, our attention, our praise, our pursuit of him, our desire to make him known. That's what our God is jealous for. And so when we look around and say, well, I should have that, or I should be better than that, or I should be further along than that, or I should, there's nothing wrong with wanting to grow. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be better. You've heard me say it 100 times. If you don't desire to be the best at what you do, you probably should do something else. But our desire to be the best at what we do should come from a desire to bring as much glory to God and get as many people to him as possible. Our work ethic should not just be driven by our direct deposit, but it should be driven by being a man of God who is a kingdom worker. I strive to work hard so I can bring glory to God. I strive to work hard because that's what God desires for me to do. I aspire to live a quiet life, not a recluse life, not a lazy life. I aspire to live a quiet life. I'm going to mind my own affairs. Why? Because I got enough things to take care of around here, enough things to worry about. Mind your own affairs, work with your hands, be productive, don't be lazy. Be dependent upon nobody else. Don't lay around waiting for someone else to help you. When you live a quiet life and you're focused on where God has placed you to work and keep what he has entrusted to you, understand this. He's not entrusted to you what he has entrusted to somebody else. God says, I have placed you in a garden to work it, to keep it, to protect it, and cultivate it. I didn't place you in your neighbor's garden. I didn't place you in your coworker's garden. I didn't place you in those places, in those positions, because I have something for you. And when I have an envious or a coveting heart to say, I wish I had what they had, I wish I was further along than they had, you're saying, God, I don't like this garden. I want a different one. God says, I've given you one. And maybe you don't like the return that you're getting right now. It's the law of cultivation. If you don't like what you're getting, you need to continue to cultivate. You need to continue to work the ground. Amen. Think about that, men. Pray that God would help you protect your heart, help you protect your eyes, help you protect your ears, help you protect your words, that what you see, what you say, what you experience would not lead you to a place where you desire someone else's garden, but you'll cultivate your own. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.